From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Reverend Jesse Jackson is making headlines for a derogatory comment made about Barack Obama. Jackson appeared during the weekend on the Fox News show Fox and Friends. During a break, when he thought the mic was out, he said he wanted to cut off, and here we are paraphrasing, Senator Obama's manhood. Why? Because according to Jackson, quote, Barack's been talking down to black people, end quote, on faith-based issues. The comments were broadcast yesterday on the O'Reilly Factor. Jackson has since said he's sorry to Obama, and a campaign spokesperson says the senator has accepted the apology. We were able to speak to Reverend Jackson after the news about the remark was leaked to the press, but before Fox broadcast it. And even before I had a chance to ask the Reverend a question, he launched into an explanation.
The reason I chose to make a statement today publicly, I have real passion for this campaign. I've supported it since before Barack even announced, for example. And I do not want a soundbite out of context to interrupt a broader conversation and a very positive message he has going to our nation. When I said that some of the messages aimed at the black church could be considered talking down the blacks, my appeal really was the moral content of the message, to not only deal with the personal and moral responsibility of black males, but to deal with the collective moral responsibility of government and the public policy, the private public dialogue. And so I want to get in front of this because I do not want any diversion from his record-setting positive campaign.
I want to make sure that I have things straight. According to the news reports that we have at the time we're talking to you, you used a term for the male anatomy in describing
that was when the real, I really was talking with Dr. Reed Tuckson, and he asked about the messages lately aimed at the black churches, which had a lot to do with moral responsibility. And I said they must not be just talking down to blacks or the blacks only. And then I said something pejorative and embarrassing personally. But the message remains the same, that we need a broader message to include the crisis of jobs out, guns and drugs, and we need a broader message to restructure our economy to put America back to work. That's my passion, and my passion for this campaign remains undaunted, and I look forward to his success, and I'll work for him continuously this fall in the campaign.
But do you think his Father's Day speech was a sister soldier moment where he essentially criticized poor and working class black people to please white voters?
Well, Psalms interpreted that way, and I was concerned it would not be interpreted that way. For example, black community infant mortality rates are highest, the life expectancy is shorter, the most underfunded schools, the most teachers of children under 3 years of experience, 2.3 million Americans in jail, a million are black, in part sentencing disparities. A whole range of what Dr. King would call structural inequalities that must be addressed. And while the moral lesson is appropriate, I give it all the time myself, we're going to have to invest in abandoned rural and urban America in order to break these disparity gaps and put all of America on an even playing field.
Many of the smartest people in the world, the most engaged people in the world, are also linguistically colorful. And sometimes you have to backtrack a bit. On that note, have you called the senator or spoken with the senator since?
I've spoken with his staff. Mm-hmm. Our friendship remains intact. And I do not want anything that was said in any guise to distract from his message and our support for his campaign.
Now, during the 84 campaign, you called New York Hymie Town while speaking with a black Washington Post reporter, and you got a lot of heat for that. So this, I understand, occurred when you spoke when you thought a mic was closed. So what have you learned about interacting with us in the media from all this stuff?
Well, you do your job, and I respect that, and I do mine. And for the most part, we try to keep the hope alive. We try to make the country better. And we're not going to lose that message. And what a great moment, a redemptive moment in America, a rehabilitative moment. And I'm glad to be a part of it. And a 54-year race, Barack has running a fast last lap and moving on to victory, and we support it.
Finally, when you think about your role in the 2008 election, how would you describe it?
Work on voter registration, voter mobilization, education, coalition building, work together to help end the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, reinvest in America, to convince young America that they really do have the power to change the course of the country, that we must have a renewed, a multiracial, multicultural coalition. These are the themes that I revolve my work around, and I intend to be pushing them real hard this summer and fall.
And do you think you'd go out on the stump with him if he wanted you to, or does he want you to?
Whatever, for example, that he wants, you know, he must make that decision, you know, as to who, you know, that campaign, you know, you have consultants, you have advisors, you have surrogates, you have supporters. I'm a strong supporter and have been so since before he announced, and I will continue supporting because I believe he represents the right side of history for all of America and really for the world.
Well, Reverend Jackson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Reverend Jackson is the founder and president of the Rainbow Push Coalition. He spoke to us about remarks he made about Senator Barack Obama.